As you can see, just one verse up there. We'll look at other verses as we go through, but mainly basing today's message on Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25. Now, this is depending on your version or translation of the Bible, you may have different translations here. So, in some NIVs, it says, "The bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days." Some NIVs don't have that, but some NIVs do, because the NIV as a translation is being redone. We quite often find in Open Up the Bible that I'll read from the NIV and somebody says, "That's not what it says in my Bible," and it's exactly the same Bible, you know, but just a different edition or different translation. So the bolts of your gates will be iron and bronze, and your strength will equal your days. King James Version, and the New King James largely, says, "Thy shoes shall be as iron and brass, and as thy days so shall thy strength be." So, two different images, but really the message is very much the same that comes from both of those pictures. Now, first of all, you've got the bolts of your gates, so that the things that protect you will be strong, iron and bronze, yes? With the shoes, iron and brass shoes. That sounds pretty heavy for me, walking around. I'm bad enough in ordinary shoes, but iron and brass. But the thing about them would be the strength. Yeah? Now, both of those images are helpful, I believe, as we start a new year. And you can either think of the gates being defensive. So whatever's going to come against us, we have a secure gate of iron and bronze to help us. And the shoes of iron and brass have an imagery, really, of a warrior's boots, if you like, which will be, you need a firm grip. You know, if you're going to stand in battle, it's no good having a pair of slippers on, is it? You know, you're going to get knocked over pretty quick. But if you're shod securely, you might think, I've got a good pair of Doc Martens on, or hobnail boots, those who remember those things. You're going to stand firm, aren't you? Far more so. So it can either be, think of as defensive or as a warrior on the attack. And whatever situation we find ourselves in, either being attacked or attacking, both of those images can help us to think, you know what, we're secure, there's strength there. We will withstand the attack of the enemy, and actually we can take the attack to the enemy to push back the powers of darkness. And so I think as we begin a new year, all of us are thinking, what's it going to bring? What new challenges are going to come into our lives? What's the situation going to be that we're going to need to face? Both of those images, I hope, can help us to look forward with confidence that, whatever we're facing, we're not facing it alone, and God has actually equipped us. Amen? So what we need to remember is that God himself is our protector. Round about us are the everlasting arms of God. And with God on our side, we will not be defeated. The bolts of our gate, as I put up there, are made of strong materials, not easily penetrated. We can think perhaps, and Pastor Joel was talking in his recent series about the armour of God, we can think of the shield of faith that will deflect the arrows of the enemy, the fiery darts. It's not easily penetrated. In the same way, the gates of our hearts, the gates of our minds can be protected by God. Yes? And they're not easily penetrated. And as we've said already today, there's nothing happening in 2020 that God has not already overseen. God has gone before us. Whatever, and there will be challenges, make no mistake, there will be difficulties, there will be sickness, there will be things that come into our life which you think, well, how can I cope with this? You know, it's not going to be plain sailing. I think 2020 could well be a tough year for many of us. Some of us are already in a tough year. You start thinking, oh yeah, I've got this to deal with. You know, back to work tomorrow, the challenges that has. You know, for those who are, you know, perhaps have children at school, going back into school, it's going to be a challenge. You know, we're not immune to challenges, but what I want to say is that we're not alone in the challenges, because our Lord and Saviour and friend is with us. Amen. You know, He will allow things into our lives in order, sometimes for discipline, sometimes for growth, sometimes for both. That as we overcome with His help, as we lean upon Him, lean not upon your own understanding, but lean upon Him, then you begin to grow in faith and mature in faith. And so God isn't taken by surprise. There's nothing going to happen in 2020 that will surprise God. I mean, many of us, perhaps the other day, we opened up our social media or whatever, and we're shocked, perhaps, to see the American action in Baghdad. You know, seemed to come completely out of the blue. But you know what? The intelligence services knew it was going to happen beforehand. But for us, it was a shock. Or for many of us, it was a shock. Nothing's going to come into our lives that God is not already aware of. He's got that intelligence beforehand. Amen? And so, yes, we are rightly concerned about, you know, international relations and war. We're concerned about what's happening in Australia with the fires. There's famines in other parts of the world, but our Lord is still on His throne, always and forever. Amen. And so whatever comes into our lives, and this isn't a doom and gloom message, but we need to be prepared, because things will come into our lives. I say we are not immune. We are in a war with an enemy who hates us, who wants to kill, steal and destroy. And we need to be those who say, yes, He may have that intention, but His intentions will not come to fruition, because my God has hedged me about with bolts of brass and iron in my gate, and I am shod with boots of iron and brass, and I will stand and I will overcome. Amen. So it is our God who will strengthen us in the tough times. And He will, I believe, bring us through. Time and again, there'll be people here who could stand and say, I have known those testing times and I'm still standing. It was great to hear some of the testimonies given on the New Year's Eve watch night service. Our God has brought people through, and He's the same God today as He was on New Year's Eve. Yes? And He will have the victory, and we will participate in God's victory. Amen. I just want to say this, that when Moses spoke these words, he was reminding a people, Deuteronomy, if you remember, is Moses' final message or sermon to the Israelites before he dies, before they go into the promised land. He's preparing them to go in to take possession. He knows there's going to be battles. He knows God has prepared them. And if you think about it, this chapter 33, there's only one more chapter to go. And He's preparing them, readying them. But what He wanted them to remember was this. You don't need iron shoes on a carpet. You probably destroy the carpet with your iron shoes. You know, you go into a nicely laid carpeted room in your hobnail boots. You know what? There'll be eyes raised and probably voices raised. But you do need them for tough conditions. They're built for rough roads, rough terrain. And that's what the people of Israel were going into. Yes, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's people in there who didn't want them to come. There's regions that were inhospitable in terms of the terrain. And we need to remember, we're not walking on carpet all the time. There's times we need those iron shoes on. We need to have that strength. Amen. And so this was a promise actually made to one of the tribes, the tribe of Asher. I know we have to be careful about taking a promise to a particular people in a particular time and applying it to ourselves, you know, thousands of years later in a completely different situation. But I think it's acceptable to take a spiritual promise from God or a spiritual warning that Moses gives to one of part of his chosen people to apply it to ourselves as well. And so Asher, their territory was going to be the coastal region, quite a long way from the entry point into the promised land. Modern day Haifa, yeah, or Jaffa, and southern Lebanon. That's the area that they were going to be, was going to be their inheritance. And that's a hilly area. It can be a tough area, but also a very fruitful area. Why do we have Jaffa oranges? Because that's where they come from. Yeah? Nice big juice. It can be a very fruitful area and much prized area, but it's also a tough area. The terrain is not easy. It's hilly country. There's going to be a lot of, you know, if you've got an enemy at the top of the hill and you're at the bottom, you're going to have to have your feet shod with iron if you're going to make it up there. And the people who are living there would not give up easily because they're enjoying being by the coast, the fishing, and being where the fertile land. Then they're not going to give it up easily. And so Moses has this promise from God. He initially said, Asher is most blessed of sons. In verse 24, your sandals should be iron and bronze, as your days so shall your strength be. It's a great promise for a people who God was bringing into a place of fruit and fruitfulness, but it would be a tough thing. I believe God is bringing us into a place of fruitfulness, both personally and as a church, but there will be obstacles to overcome. I believe God is preparing us for that. If you want the fruit, it doesn't just fall into your lap. It needs to be picked. It needs to be cultivated. Yes? And that can be hard work. It can be hard work. So whilst they're going to a great land of promise, the people, the tribe of Asher, would have to fight for it. It was going to be tough. Yeah? But the point is that God would provide whatever they needed in that journey. That's his promise. As your days, so shall your strength be. And that's the second part of the message, really. Not only is God preparing us and equipping us with these, you know, the shoes or the gates or whatever for protection and for moving forward in battle, but also he would provide the strength each day. So when Moses is speaking to the tribe of Asher, they're about to go in. They're about to press in into the land of Canaan, the land of promise, after all those years of wandering in the wilderness. Yeah? But now it's almost time. And so what they needed to hear was, God's going to be with you in this. God is going to be with you in this. And I believe that the word to that for today, and the word to us, and the word to Christians is this. It's a command. Forward, march. Forward, march. It's not a time to take things easy. It's not a time to have a rest. We face a battle ahead. Whether here or elsewhere, there are battles to be won. Amen. As I said, God doesn't equip us with carpet slippers. He does equip us with boots of brass and iron, spiritually. Amen. But if we want to see that fruit, you know what? We're going to have to work for it. Because the enemy wants to keep people in darkness. The enemy wants to keep people in confusion. He wants to keep them far from the knowledge of the love of God. And the encouraging word we had from Mary earlier, yes, we need to be going and talking and saying, but you know what? Some of those people are being blinded by the enemy at the moment. We need to be praying Lord, not only give me opportunity, but open the blind eyes that they might see, that they might taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah? So we face a battle, but we will, I believe, have opportunities to win. Yeah? That God will bring us into. I don't know if you've ever, as you've been travelling around in the countryside, you see those signs, you know, strawberries PYO. It took me ages to work out what it meant. You know, pick your own. And it's a lot harder work picking your own than it's going down to Tesco's. But you know what? When you pick your own, what happens? You can see the quality you're picking. There isn't the ones that, I'm not denigrating Tesco's here, because they're all the same. There's always a few at the bottom that aren't quite as nice, aren't there? Yeah? Or is it just the pundits I buy? Maybe it's just me that gets duped by it every time. But when you pick your own, you can see the quality. Yes, and for many people, they'll eat the quality while they're doing it, which they shouldn't do, but they do, don't they? But the point is, you get the quality, but you've had to do the work for it. Rather than relying on a machine to pick or for paying barely subsistent wages to people to pick it for you, you have to do the work. And it's the same in the spiritual kingdom. There is fruit out there, but it's got to be worked for. Yeah? It is hard work. In Jesus' parables of, you know, sowing seeds, not all of it comes up, does it? In fact, very little comes up, but what does is abundantly fruitful, up to 100-fold. Yes? But unless you sow, you won't reap anything, will you? So it's hard work. I know there's a sort of mixing pictures there between fruit and corn and wheat and so on, but it's a similar principle, isn't it? Unless you sow, you're not going to reap. Unless you plant and cultivate and water a fruit seedling, you're not going to have the strawberries, raspberries or whatever they happen to be. It needs to be worked out. Amen? Yeah. Because throughout history, the message is very clear. The pilgrim path, it can be tough. Remember, hands up, who's read Pilgrim's Progress? Come on, you need to be more people who read Pilgrim's Progress. I understand it's the second most read book after the Bible in the world. And the reason it is because it stands the test of time. And you can get modern versions of it. So the English is a little bit more modern. I mean, it's not all these and thous anymore. But it's so true to life. John Bunyan knew what he was talking about. He suffered for his faith. And when he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, it's so true to life. There's times I've read it. I've read it cut two or three times now. I'm thinking, yeah, that's where I am. And, oh, yeah, that's where I am. And that's, yeah, I can see how God worked in my life so in the same way that he did with Pilgrim, with Christian in the book. It's a tough one to follow, but the rewards are great. Don't expect it to be easy. Amen? But God has prepared a way for us, and he will equip us for each step of the journey. So don't be afraid of stepping out. He's gone before you. He has given you all what you need to overcome and to be fruitful. Amen. And that second part of the verse, as your days, so shall your strength be. We need to remember that every day is a gift to us. I know it's quite trite to say, that's why it's called the present, but it is a gift from God. And he will be with us on each of those days. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Apart from Monday when you've got that meeting, when I'll just leave you to yourself, you know. Or on that Wednesday when you're meeting that terrible person. No, you're on your own there, chum. No, God will never leave us nor forsake us. That difficult meeting you've got in business, that difficult meeting at school, or that difficult meeting with people, God's there. And he wants to encourage you. Amen. Amen. Every day is a gift from God. Every day there is something that God wants to happen in our life which will build us up. and encourage us. Yeah? So let's treat it like that. Don't think, oh, tomorrow I've got to do this, tomorrow I've got to do that. We can live like that and totally stressed about every little thing. Or we can say, okay, I've got this tomorrow, but God's gone ahead of me. God has given me what I need to do this. I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. Not in my own strength. Can't do it. Christ who strengthens me. Yeah? So we need to be just perhaps a little bit more aware that God will strengthen us for each day. And it's interesting, this verse, because remember the Israelites are just about to come out of the desert, and every day God had provided manna for them, didn't he? Yeah? The food each day, which they couldn't store up or shouldn't do, otherwise it would putrefy. Every day God provided for them. They're about to go into the promised land where God does not provide manna anymore. Sufficient strength today for you to do it yourself. Yeah? That's what he's saying to the Israelites. Yeah, I'm not going to be giving you manna from heaven anymore, but I'll give you the strength for each day to do what you need to do. And maybe some of us need to remember that. Some days you think, oh. I mean, I know, I get weary at times, but I have to say, yeah, God's given me enough strength to do this. He's given me this day for a purpose. Amen? When we feel weak, we lean on his mighty arms. Yeah, leaning on the mighty arms of God. Yeah. He has promised that our strength will equal our days. So sometimes, you know, as we're getting older, we need a bit more strength from God to do the things we need to do. And sometimes we need to have the wisdom that God gives us to say, you don't need to do that anymore. And I frequently get from the Lord, David, you are 59, not 15. You can't do the things you used to do. It's unwise to do the things you used to do. I've got to learn that lesson. That God will give me the strength for the days for what he wants me to do now. Not what he wanted me to do 20 years ago or even last year. And not the strength I'll need in years to come. They'll have different challenges. But a sufficient strength for each day. Your strength, as your days, so shall your strength be. And that, I think, is something we need to really take on board. Yeah, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So, in this coming year, if we feel weak, weak in faith, weak in body, lean on his mighty arm. He won't let you down. He won't let you go. He's promised. When we feel sick, don't fear. He's promised our strength will equal our days. We will go through to sickness, but don't fear about it. Because the anxiety and the stress about being sick actually makes it worse, doesn't it? God is with us in it and through it and brings us through it. Whatever the outcome of that illness may be, God will still be with us. Don't allow fear to infect your mind and your thinking about whatever's happening in your body, because that will just make things a lot worse. But when we rely on God, I believe that his strength comes. And we feel sometimes we might have a bit of doubt or confusion. What, you know, what's God doing? Don't fear. God is still with you. He will strengthen you for that day. We know that God is not He's not the author of confusion, is he? We know who the author of confusion is, the enemy. Don't give the enemy a foothold in your life by accepting his lies and his confusion. Accept that God had brought you to this place, this day, for this reason, for this purpose, and he will strengthen you for that challenge, that situation. Yeah. So I believe this is a real promise from God for this year. As each day, I will strengthen you. Yes, there were difficulties. Yes, there will be battles. But in all of this, do not waver. Do not doubt. Because God will make a way. And we know, you know, Scripture tells us God will make a way where there seemed to be no way. God will make a way through the wilderness. You're feeling lost. You're feeling not sure where God is in all this. He's there. He's there. Reach out. Reach out to him. So what are the practical things perhaps we can do and think on from this? Well, fairly simple. Take each day as it comes. Why worry about tomorrow? That's what Jesus said. There's going to be enough problems tomorrow to worry about. Don't worry about them in advance, because it just creates turmoil in your mind, doesn't it? What if, what if, what if? It's a little phrase I just sometimes wish we didn't have in our vocabulary. But we all do it, don't we? We all play the what if game. Well, what if they do this and they do that and they do that? And if they do that, that'll happen and that'll happen. And you get yourself really wound up, confused, and even fearful and tearful with the what ifs. We do not know what tomorrow will bring, but we know who is there tomorrow. It's God. And it might be tough, but he won't let you go. Why worry about tomorrow? I also want to say this. Don't try to force the future. Oh, I see what God wants me to do. I'll just dive straight in. I'm sure he'll catch me at the other end. Well, you can say it's a leap of faith, or you could say it's a leap of presumption. Yeah? Don't force situations. Sufficient for the day. Take it one step as God leads, as God guides. Now, if God calls you to take a great leap of faith, then obviously you do it. But I know in my own experience, and I don't think I'm alone in this, there's times I've tried to, as it were, engineer situations or circumstances. I think, well, that'll be a nice shortcut. You know, I can get there quicker than God leading me. Doesn't work. You know, I'm sure we've all had this, haven't we, when we've been travelling. I thought, well, just take that shortcut. And an hour later, where are we? I know on Friday, I'm sure she won't mind me telling us, Kathy and Steph had a time together. They were going to have a girly time together in London. And Steph had a particular place she wanted to take Kath to treat her. And she had her phone out. And she had directions from Mr. Google. So she knows where she's going. And she's walking. But she'd forgotten that hasn't instructed Google that she's walking. So it's giving driving instructions. After quite some time, they abandoned the trip altogether. They're probably only a street away from where they needed to be. But they ended up going somewhere completely different. They enjoyed themselves. But, you know, proper research may have helped with this one. But we've all done that, haven't we? So, oh, yeah, I'll nip through this alleyway. It's bound to lead to... Where on earth am I? Or is that only me? I don't think so, is it? Yeah. And sometimes we know where God wants to take us, but there is a process to him taking us there. There is a plan that actually, as we're on the journey, we'll actually learn more things which will equip us for when we get to the other end. And we try and shortcut it and we miss out the experience, we'll find we're not equipped because we thought we knew better than God. You know what? In all my years, I've learned a lesson very early on. He knows better than I do. He knows much better than I do. Amen? So don't try and force us at the future. Don't try to sort of engineer situations to manipulate situations in order to get to where you think God is bringing it. In God's timing is perfect. Always. So for promise for the new year, don't be anxious or full of anxiety. How many times does God say, do not fear, in the Bible? Old Testament, New Testament, it runs all the way through it, doesn't it? Do not be full of anxiety. Sufficient strength. God will be there with you. And say, the His everlasting arms are underneath. He will catch you. Yeah. Each day, do what God has given you to do. And it might not be something, you know, hugely magnificent and, you know, wow, wonderful. But what has God given you to do? Has God given you the task to be the best employee in the office? Could be. Has God given you the task to be a good neighbour, to help the person next door, physically next door? Could be. Has God given you a task just to speak a word in season to somebody to encourage them? Could be. Does God want you just pick up the phone or text or just a word of encouragement to somebody? It's great. From time to time, one or two people just text me a verse and it really lifts me. A, because God's word's been towards my heart, but also somebody else is thinking of me. And that's wonderful. And it, you know, it doesn't take much to be able to do something like that. That may be what God wants you to do. That may be the sole reason for that day, just to encourage somebody else. But as you're obedient to what God's told you to do, you know what? You will be blessed. You will be blessed. What has God given you to do today? What has God given you to do today? Maybe that's a question to ask him when you wake in the morning. Lord, you know what today is going to bring. What do you want me to do? How can I cooperate with your Holy Spirit today? To be the man, to be the woman that you want me to be in the situations you're going to bring me into. Amen. So let's do what each day what God has given us to do. And whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord always. Remember the context there, Philippians 4. Paul is writing from prison. And yet he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You know, he's in a tough situation. He's not, you know, singing on the mountaintops in freedom. He's in a Roman prison. And yet he says to the Philippians, rejoice. Always. Every situation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. But I know it's hard. You're going through a difficult time. There may be illness. There may be things happening in family which you're just not sure what's going to happen next. You've still been given that day as a gift from God. Rejoice in it. Rejoice and be glad. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever that situation is. Because for some reason, which is unfathomable to my finite mind, God has allowed this to come. And I will learn from it. I will grow in it. Amen. So rejoice. We're meant to be people of joy, aren't we? Let's be rejoicing. Yeah, it's wonderful to see smiling. I don't know about you, but you're just walking down the street, you start smiling. How many people smile back at you? You haven't a clue who they are. They don't know who you are. But you know what? They smile. You know what? It lifts my heart. I think, oh, that guy's smiled at me. I wonder why. And I think, oh, yes, because I smiled at him. That woman smiled at me. Oh, it's because I smiled at her. And she was happy with that. But it does lift us, doesn't it? Just to see a smiling face. And as Christians, we should be. And if people say, well, what are you smiling about? I say, well, God loves me. And they probably think, okay, yep, bye. But it might just be, why do you say that? It might be that opportunity to say, well, I've experienced the love of God. I've experienced the forgiveness. I've got the hope in my heart that God has given to me. That's why I'm smiling. Yes, there may be war in the Middle East again. Yes, there's bushfires burning. But I know my God is still in control. And I have that great Christian hope that one day, and it may be soon, the Lord will return in great splendor and glory. And so I'm smiling because I know the end of the story. While the politicians are arguing, I know the end of the story. Do you know the end of the story? Yeah? That's, Book of Revelation. sum it up in two words. God wins. Quite simply. Yeah, you can get all confused and all the rest of it, but at the end of the day, all it's about is that God wins. And the enemy is vanquished. Completely. So rejoice in the Lord always. We know the end of the story. And we know whose side we're on. We're on the victory side. Amen. And if we do get fearful in this coming year, I know where to go to. Run to the cross. Find strength and hope there. Now I can say practically, yes, you're going to see people who can perhaps help you. Absolutely. But come back to that place of dependence upon God, where you can see the love of God demonstrated by Jesus upon the cross. In his weakness we find strength. Amen. Through his sacrifice we have hope. Not only for today, but for the coming days. Let's not be fearful. Let's not be anxious about anything. Come back to the cross. Come back to the God who loved you so much that he wanted you to be part of his family. There may be people who don't want you to be part of their family. You know, the last thing they want is you in the family. God says, I accept them. I want them. I've chosen them before the creation of the world. I chose that man. I chose that woman. They're going to be part of my family throughout all eternity. And to make that happen, to enable that to happen, their sin needs to be dealt with, because every man and woman on this planet is a sinner. Yeah, I am. Am I the only one in the room? I don't think so. Thank you, Scotty. We're together, mate. Don't matter all this lot, they're all lying. But the point is, God so loved the sinner that he sent his son. And when we get fearful of the future, what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen in this country, what's going to happen in the world, we come back to the cross and say, my God loves me so much and loves each one of us so much that Jesus paid that immense price for our forgiveness. So that all that sin could be washed away, remembered no more, brand new start. Hallelujah. So if you get fearful, run to the cross. It's an old-fashioned sort of phrase, isn't it? You know, you run to the cross. We need to. It's urgent. Don't delay. Don't think, well, maybe I should talk to God about this. Maybe I should do that. Run to the cross. There's an urgency. You need not be anxious. You need not be fearful any longer. Run to that place where Jesus demonstrated his amazing love. And you know what? As you think upon the love of God, his peace can come. The doubts can be dealt with. Yes, you, even me, God died for. Jesus paid the price for. He loved so much. Amen. So I want to close with a quote from an American pastor from, I think, the 19th century, James Russell Miller. I don't know if anybody's ever come across James Russell Miller before. But it's a great quote. Christ's feet were pierced with nails that we might have iron shoes for the road. We cannot succeed this year without Christ. But with him by our side, we can face whatever may come with confidence and joy. Now, the first bit's a little bit fanciful, perhaps, but I think it's a lovely picture. That as Christ's feet were pierced for our sin, pierced with nails, that we might have the iron shoes that are talked of in Deuteronomy 33. Shoes for the pilgrimage road, yeah? As he said, we cannot succeed this year without Christ. In our own strength, we will fail. Guarantee you. But with him by our side, whatever comes, we can have a confidence. We're not alone. Sufficient for the day will be the strength that God gives us. And that we will be able to rejoice with great joy as we see God at work in our lives. Amen. Amen. We'll end there. We'll end with prayer. I don't know whether it's going to be whether the band are coming back up.